Chapter 9. My mind was swimming, and not in the good way following a decent amount of fine liquor. "You have to tell me more," I begged the ramlord, so I could attempt to order my thoughts. "Starting with why you think Amaya is in danger, and how you think we can get her out of the oath." Gavlain inhaled sharply, and his hand on my shoulder tightened as he suddenly looked away. I blinked in shock at the blatant relief creasing his face that made him look older than he seemed.
"You don't know how good it is to hear you say that with the same conviction I have felt since."
He paused, and his hand dropped like he was weighed down with an immense burden. "Gav?" I queried, when he rubbed a hand over his face.
"I told you how I gained my status, correct?" he asked.
"Yeah, you and Asher Redburn both told me a little something about some sort of rite," I answered.
"The passing rite, yes. It is how a father can pass along the power bestowed upon him by Mercedes to his chosen heir."
Gavlain shook his head and paused for another beat.
"My mother, who loved him deeply, was pregnant with Amaya when my father willingly chose to end his life by my hand through the rite. In a word, the grief drove her insane, and shortly after I took my place as Asher Lord, she committed the ultimate act of madness."
"What did she do?" I whispered.
"She tried to drown herself in the ocean. In case you didn't know, imbibing the goddess's tears is deadly because it renders those who are not devoted acolytes insane. The guards were able to pull her out in time to deliver the baby, but my mother perished. For a while it was shaky with my little sister. She was as pale as the moonlight and so quiet and still for nearly a farthing before she finally opened her eyes. Even then, she didn't talk until she was 4 seasons old. You cannot imagine the coals I raked myself over. The guilt threatened to swallow me, but taking care of my 2 younger sisters who were left behind was the only reason I didn't crumble."
"Oh, Gavlain, I'm so sorry," I said with a frown of sympathy.
"It is what it is, my friend, and I have made peace with the order of things," he said and flashed me a weary smile. "However, as far as danger is concerned, the fact of the matter is Amaya will always be surrounded by it from outside forces. There have always been enemies of the Order who would like to strike at the heart of the organization, and therefore her status, should it be revealed, is a risk. The good news is, she's well-versed in hand-to-hand combat, and her self-defense is second to none."
"Well, that's good. I recovered before I could say what I really meant. Which was hot. I meant hot.
"Indeed," the ramlord arched an eyebrow as he gave me a smirk.
So who all knows she's the prophetess?" I cleared my throat and rubbed the back of my neck.
"Only those who were present for her assessment," Gavlain continued,
and got up to throw the last log on the fire.
"Me, with whom she shares blood, the High Priestess and her 2 trusted deaconesses, so for now, her status is widely unknown. That will change when she takes her oath, and her true assessment gifts are registered with the Order when she begins her work at the Alemic Sun Temple."
"Okay, so that means the ones you want to protect her from are the Order," I surmised.
"Clever lad," he smiled and turned to face me. "During Amaya's assessment, the High Priestess Leda reacted very oddly, and she cut off the rest of what my sister was saying like she was afraid of what she would say when everything was all said and done. After the assessment was cut short, the High Priestess wanted to take Amaya away without explanation, but I wouldn't let her until she explained how one day I wouldn't have a choice given what she was. The threat was mild, but I couldn't get Leda's haunted expression out of my head, or the way she looked at my sister like she was a ghost."
"Why?" I asked.
"I don't know. But it is something I could never get out of my head," he said as his bronze eyes dimmed. "After Amaya and Anwar attempted to escape, I finally saw just how unhappy she was with her fate. And since then I have been trying to find a way to free her from the chains of her supposed duty. I fear she will not survive if left to suffer inside a gilded cage."
"Where all have you searched in order to get answers?" I questioned, as my mind tried to put together rudimentary strategies I had no context for.
It took me a long time to track down scraps of order law that were either obscured from public record or erased altogether, he said, and set up the grate in front of the hearth for the night. Then he took his place back in his chair before he went on. I've been trying to find one of those gray areas you are fond of so I can figure out a way to liberate Maya from the Order's clutches, but it wasn't until very recently I realized I had been looking in the wrong place.
Meaning, I encouraged, as I tucked my legs up underneath me.
The Order and the Council have an accord when it comes to carrying out the will of Mercedes, but after the uprisings a lot of libraries and archives became casualties in the ensuing chaos. Gavlane said, and crossed his ankles. One of my sources helped me track down a particular tome of interest that ostensibly once belonged to the Order, but somehow ended up in the Lord Councilman's private vault. With a few people on the inside, I was able to acquire it.
Oh shit, you're talking about the half of that book you gave me, I realized, and then glared at him. Hey, you made it seem as if the book could help me with my Herald Corps experiments.
Oh, right. Well,
the big man cleared his throat and twiddled his thumbs a little sheepishly.
I was 98% sure you were who I thought you were, but just in case, I felt like I needed to entice you. Also, I didn't want to completely disappoint you with the fact no one has ever attempted anything of the sort, so the chances of there being a book about it are slim. I'm afraid you'll have to be the one to pioneer it yourself.
Ugh, great, thanks, I snorted, but then fixed him with a stern look. I hope you understand by now you don't need to manipulate me like that in the future, and I would prefer it if you didn't.
He regarded my serious expression, and his teasing smirk faded. All joking aside, I know you have felt like a puppet, and a lot of that is my doing, he rumbled out in his low voice. And I am sorry for it. I have just felt responsible for Maya ever since I drove our mother to do what she did.
You didn't, I started, but was stopped when he raised a weary hand.
I didn't have a choice,
he completed my sentence with a sigh.
In a sense, that is true. I was only abiding by my father's will, but it doesn't discount the fact it was by my hand my father was slain, and therefore by my hand my mother lost her heart. And then Amaya was so fragile for so long and had to cling to life by her nails only to be trapped by a system that doesn't deserve her and will use her up until there is nothing left.
I understand your reasons, and like you said, it's obvious I am just as invested in freeing Amaya, I said. And if you think the answers lie within that book, then I promise you I will find it.
I do not doubt it, my friend.
Gavlane gave me a grateful smile. Although I'm not sure how useful it'll be, even if we have both halves, because no one I know can read it, I said. Is that an order thing?
I do not know much about the runes it is written in, but someone in Aventol must, the Ramlord said.
Where do I even start looking? I asked.
For starters, not on Nata, he replied with a peculiar glance.
That's why you were suggesting I should take Ambassador Siskern up on his offer to go to Ter. Again, for the record, you don't have to be vague about getting me to do things.
Noted,
he chuckled, as the pigeon man from earlier came back into the parlor.
For now, it is quite late, so please let Graven take you to your quarters, and be ready to meditate with me in the morning.
Oh, goddess, I'm going to regret the brandy later, I can tell, I said when he helped me up from the sofa, and I swayed on my feet.
Lots of water and you'll be fine, he said,
and patted me on the shoulder with his baseball mitt of a hand.
And I must thank you again.
You don't need to thank me for doing what's right, I argued.
Not just for that, the Ramlord said. Since she's met you, Amaya smiles like she once used to, and I had almost forgotten what that was like.
We're going to free her, Gav, I promised with a solemn expression.
I do not doubt that.
He sent me off with another smile, and I was escorted to a room that was probably amazing in its lavishness, but it escaped my notice. I only had eyes for one thing, the glorious bed. Which was why it was such a tragedy when it felt like I had barely succumbed to the sweet sucker of sleep before being ripped out of unconsciousness to go fucking jogging. Uphill, in some surprisingly cold early morning rain.
I thought we were just going to meditate,
I panted as I followed Mech over a few mossy boulders.
It'll be worth it, I promise,
the Ramlord said, and he finally had us jog to a stop and pulled aside some low-hanging vines. When he pushed the multicolored vegetation out of the way, he revealed a small clearing where a cave was situated in the edifice of the mountain.
It better be,
I huffed and wiped the sweat off my brow.
I might not even be able to stay awake for it because of that.
This is a sacred place, and the natural energy coming up through the ground is rejuvenating for ashes,
he said, as he led us both into the damp and drippy cave. It was warm inside, and the water that dripped from the glowing blue stalactites smelled like the sweetest rain. Droplets fell on my scalp and face, and they left behind a soothing sensation that slowed my breathing yet energized my mind.
Whoa,
I murmured, and listened to my voice echo all around. The Ramlord didn't say anything, and he instead walked to the center of the cave where some of the biggest stalactites were hanging, and then stripped off his tunic so the drips could soak into his bare shoulders. I followed suit and then joined him on the smooth stone surface.
Look,
Gavlane intoned and gestured all around. When I craned my head back, I gasped at the sight of the glowing stalactites, sparkling like a galaxy full of stars.
Beautiful,
I breathed, and then I inhaled the surprisingly fresh air as my upturned face was kissed with the sweet cave rain.
Now close your eyes and concentrate on the things in your mind that have been plaguing you, he instructed.
And when I opened my eyes to protest I wasn't being plagued, he only shook his head.
Don't argue. I can tell.
I sighed as I closed my eyes, and I let myself fall down into that deep water well where vivid kaleidoscopic colors flickered like cinema film on the silver screen of my mind, until I could feel myself swimming through the crystalline ocean Mercedes. Just like when I was attempting to meditate before I was interrupted by the red sky event, I broke the surface of the cool water and scanned the horizon for the large koi-like monster fish that was always so hell-bent on Michael Phelpsing me in our normal contest. But the Leviathan was nowhere in sight. Just miles and miles of that gorgeous and mysterious azure blue. I'm here, I thought, and listened to my words reverberate. And for a moment I wasn't sure if I was just in my head or if I was also speaking aloud in the cave. What do you want to show me? The gigantic fish exploded out of the water and engulfed me in one swallow. But I was prepared for it this time and wasn't surprised when I'd suddenly gone Jonah. Well, almost wasn't surprised. I was pretty sure being fish food came with at least a standard amount of shock. So I was doubly unprepared when instead of the monster's belly, I found myself in a long corridor that looked strangely familiar. I was fully dry, dressed in regal attire, and standing on a simple red runner. As I started walking, torches flickered to life and illuminated my way until I reached a single black door. Yes, this was very familiar and yet different. Didn't there used to be two doors? Intriguing. Last time I was faced with this image, there were definitely two of these ominous black doors. Something itched the back of my mind, and I recalled that when I held my hand out, one door felt like it was tugging me back to the familiarity of my old life on Earth, while the other was calling me home. Avantol. I had taken it for the question it was, and I made my choice to stay. This door, however, was a complete mystery, and when I went to reach my hand out for the knob, my surroundings faded, and I was gently returned to my body, back in the starlit cave feeling settled and completely rested, if not a little empty inside.
There, Gavlane said as he grinned across from me with a content expression that probably matched my own. Feel better?
Oh, much, I replied. And the two of us gathered ourselves and hiked back to the palace.
Scrawl!
The sound of Rufus beckoned me as I stood in the stables with Gavlane while I readied Prosper.
Hey, buddy,
I said, as he landed on my forearm and handed me a small scroll with one of his fuzzy moth paws. You got a letter for me?
Scrawl! Scrawl!
He cawed proudly, and then launched off my arm so he could try to nuzzle and nest himself in the Ramlord's shaggy mane of hair.
Cute little beastie, isn't he?
The fearsome island badass giggled as he tickled the chromoth under his chin. I rolled my eyes, but quickly unraveled the scroll.
It's from Shay, I said, and suddenly a fierce ache bloomed in the center of my chest when I thought of my resplendent phoenix wife. She wants me to come to Icarian to meet her. She has something important she wants to discuss with me.
Ah, yes. I wonder if it has anything to do with hosting the Mid-Crescent Ball, Gavlane asked as he arched an eyebrow. I know how Lady Shelia loves to put on an event.
Oh, yeah, the ball.
I narrowed my gaze at the Ramlord while he continued to tickle and play with Rufus.
And my potential obligation to throw one. Just another thing you casually forgot to inform me of.
Hmm?
He said innocently.
Cut the crap, big guy.
I snorted and punched him in the arm.
Last time I leave you in darkness, I swear,
he muttered, and rubbed his bicep like I'd actually hurt him.
Good.
And thanks, Gavlane.
See you during the festival, he said with a smile.
Send Rufus whenever, no rush, I told him when he continued to cuddle the gold seeker. Just be sure I get him back.
Not likely, he joked. Look at how much he loves me.
Scraw!
Rufus cawed.
Traitor,
I shook my head. Then, without further ado, Prosper and I said our goodbyes and took off for the palatial Icarian estate where my wife was. The whole time we were flying there, the empty ache in my chest grew and grew to an almost burning tugging sensation, and I was glad Icarian was closer to the palace than Ithaca. Something inside me was pulling me toward Shay, and the time we had spent apart felt compounded and stacked on top of me like a crushing weight. On instinct, I knew exactly where to find her, and when the iconic white stables on the grounds caught my eye, I steered Prosper toward the glittering structure of the Jewel House. As if she could feel me too, Shay came running out of the Jewel House with her crimson hair streaking out behind her like a flame.
Alex!
She cried out, and Prosper's hooves had barely touched the ground before I was jumping off my mount and running toward her in a dead sprint.
Alex!
Shay! I said, as we crashed into each other. And I couldn't help but swing her around like a fucking fairy tale because, God, having her in my arms was the only thing that soothed the tender throb around my heart.
Oh, husband.
She cooed and cupped my face as I lowered her back down to her dainty feet.
You're here.
You asked me to come, so I did so right away, I said, as I ran my hand through her beautiful tresses.
I wasn't expecting you to drop everything,
she giggled.
It has been trying since you left.
I feel that too, I admitted, as we pressed our foreheads together. Why is it like this? Not that I'm complaining. It was true, I wasn't complaining. Even though the burning sensation wasn't pleasant, it was worth it due to the warm, wholesome feeling spreading through me the longer we held each other.
I think it has something to do with me,
she whispered, as if divulging some secret she hadn't managed to put to words yet.
It's a feeling similar to the bond I have with some of my geldings. I think when I saved you, our spirits left behind impressions of one another.
You're saying we're bonded, soul-wise? I asked, as I squeezed her petite hourglass waist.
I'm not sure,
she said.
But all I know is I've longed for you.
And I you, I murmured, and then finally kissed her on her full lips like she was my first drink after a desert hike. Shay melted into me like we were two halves of a whole, and I lifted her off her feet again as my blood thundered through my veins. I could feel the coil of arousal start to wind tight in my lower belly, and I was this close to just throwing us both to the stones that paved the entrance to the sparkling Jewel House and devouring her until my desire was slaked.
Alex, Alex,
Shay mumbled between our feverish kissing.
We should stop.
That's the last thing I want to do, I groaned, and then tangled our tongues back together.
But there are... there... oh...
She trailed off as I pressed us closer, and she nearly went completely weak-kneed when I turned my attentions to the side of her swan-like throat. I need you, Shay, I gasped when we both broke for air. Goddess, I need you.
Inside, quickly, before our guests arrive.
She pulled away, took my hand, and then started tugging me toward the entrance. Wait, guests? I questioned, as I ran behind her into the main atrium of the empty glass structure.
Yes,
she said over her shoulder with a saucy wink.
If we are to put on a ball, then this is the perfect place to do it. And I have some people arriving for a tour of the place.
Why? I asked as I followed her to the broken fountain in the center of the place. It had four big painted pots with bonsai-type trees planted in them to provide shade, and the sunlight pouring through the vaulted ceilings threw dancing rainbow lights everywhere.
Well,
she said as she skipped away from me and led me around the fountain.
This place needs a lot of work before it's ready to host some of Nita's finest.
Oh, of course, I said, and tried to grab her when she slipped around a huge potted urn.
That means,
she went on as she finally let me catch her and push her up against the ceramic planter.
We need to get to it.
Is that an order? I groaned and inhaled the delicate jasmine scent of her natural aroma, along with something more earthy like cedar smoke and ash.
Alex,
she moaned and undulated her body against mine.
Reclaim your wife. Make love to me.